The gas giant boasted 37 natural satellites, from a quartet of 100-kilometer ring shepherds up to 5 moons over 2,000 kilometers in diameter. The largest, M11, named Keddy, had a thick nitrogen-methane atmosphere. Aethra had been germinated in a 200,000-kilometer orbit, far enough outside the fringes of the ring to mitigate any danger of collision from stray particles. The seed had been brought to the system in 2602 and attached to a suitable mineral-rich asteroid. It would take 30 years to mature into a structure capable of supporting a human population, and another 20 years to reach its full 45-kilometer length. After 9 years of untroubled development, it was already 3.5 kilometers long. In the same orbit, but trailing 500 kilometers behind the young habitat, was the supervisory station occupied by 50 staff. It had accommodation for 1,000. The Edenists didn't use Bitech for such a small habitational environment. It was a carbetanium wheel, 750 meters in diameter, 80 meters wide, containing 3 long gardens separated by blocks of richly appointed apartments. Its hub was linked to a large non-rotating cylindrical port, grossly underused, but built in anticipation of the traffic which would start to arrive once the habitat reached its median size and helium-3 cloud scoop mining began in Murora's atmosphere. During the interim, there were just 2 interorbit vessels docked, which the station staff used to commute to Aethra on their inspection tours. Lady Macbeth had emerged 40,000 kilometers away from the solitary Edenist outpost, a jump accuracy Joshua was entirely satisfied with considering the conditions. Her sensors focused on the station in time to see it break apart. The rim had been sliced open in several places, allowing the atmosphere to jet out. Small thrusters were still firing in a useless attempt to halt the ominous wobble which had developed. Optical sensors revealed trees, bushes, and oscillating slicks of water rushing out of the long gashes. "Like the ruin ring," Joshua whispered painfully. Small circular spots on the carbetanium shell glowed crimson. The tough metal was visibly undulating as the structure's seesaw fluctuations increased. Then one of the cryogenic fuel storage tanks in the non-rotating port exploded, which triggered another 2 or 3 tanks. It was hard to tell the exact number. The entire station was obscured by the white vapor billowing out. As the cloud dispersed, large sections of the wheel tumbled out of the darkening center. 100 kilometers away, 2 fusion drives burnt hotly against the icy starscape, heading for the immature habitat. One of the ships was emitting a steady beat of microwaves from its transponder. "They're here already," Melvin said. "Bloody hell, they must have jumped before we did." "That is the Marantis transponder code," Warlow said, without any noticeable inflection. "What would Wolfgang leave it transmitting?" "Because he's not the captain anymore," Ashley said. "Look at the vectors. Neither of them is maintaining a steady thrust. Their drives are unstable." "They're going to kill the habitat, aren't they?" Sarah said. "Just like Lathan did all those years ago, those bastards. It can't hurt them. It can't hurt anybody. What kind of sequestration is this?" "A bad one," Warlow grumbled at an almost subliminal volume. "Very bad." "I'm picking up lifeboat beacons," Melvin said with a rush of excitement. 2 of them. Somebody escaped." Joshua, who had felt eager triumph at their successful jump to Murora and anger at the station's violation, was left empty, leaving his mind in an almost emotion-free state. His crew was looking at him, waiting. "Dad never mentioned this part of captaining a ship." "Melvin, Sarah, recalibrate the injection ionizers for the #1 fusion tube. Whatever thrust we can get, please. I'm going to need it. Ashley, Warlow, get down to the airlock deck. We won't have much time to bring them on board. Make sure they come through as fast as possible." Warlow's couch webbing peeled back immediately. The Cosmonic and the pilot went through the floor hatch as though they were in a race. "Divey, recharge the nodes. I'll jump out system as soon as we have them on board. If we get them on board..." "Yes, Captain. Stand by for combat, G's. Again.